In a world of digital card apps, one man...
There's actually two of them.
Two men.
And sometimes a guest.
Two men and sometimes a guest will guide us on a journey there and back again.
No one's traveling. It's a podcast.
The Digital Cross-Trading Podcast. And now, the hosts of the DXT Podcast, Aaron Vine and Mark Brunetti.
Hello, everybody. It's the DXT Podcast. I'm Aaron, Viney78 on all tops, apps, and quid. And I'm procrastinating underscore com on Upper Deck Ebeck.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Great to talk to you. I did ask you to get up a little early because I got quite a busy Saturday morning here. And I wanted to make sure that we had some time to talk about the show we've been kind of waiting on for months. I mean, honestly, I've been kind of waiting for this show even before Mandalorian Season 3. And we just saw two episodes of Ahsoka. Okay, this was on Tuesday, which I think is, I guess the question would be, did you see it? When did you see it? Did you see it during prime time, when it's actually a pretty cool time to watch it so you can kind of see it? Or did you watch it like the next morning or
et cetera? So I watched it late. The night it was released, so probably like around like 9 p.m. or so.
Well, 9 p.m. is when it came out, so
9 p.m., 10 p.m. around there.
yeah, and I tried to work it in. I could only get up to it by 9. It was
yeah.
I was when it came out. All right, so was great. Which I think that's a good. We talked about that last week. I do think that they I just like that better, right? I just like it better. It does give me the chance to see it first before anybody starts reacting. And I'm not sure if this show is going to be one where we have to worry about getting spoiled, but I think it will be, right? I think definitely toward the end of this season, there's going to be some stuff, I think, that we're going to want to make sure that we see right off the bat. So let's talk about each episode. The first episode was called Master and Apprentice. And a lot of people I've seen online have kind of talked about with the story that this thing needs to tell and the story that kind of is going to intertwine with the Rebels characters and stuff like that. I guess we just have to kind of accept it. But man, I'd really wish Star Wars would start naming their series not after a singular person. You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I think every single series that has been named after a person has had a little bit of a, someone has complained at some point that the story is going off that focus. The Mandalorian, that's a tough one, right? Because the Mandalorian, yes, he is the Mandalorian, but I guess you could argue that the Mandalorian could be anybody, but yes, that's one. Kenobi, we definitely complained about that. Andor, there's so much going on, honestly. For most of the time, Andor was like the least interesting character. And now Ahsoka, we have this big story. So let's talk about Ahsoka a little bit. Starts off with this crawl.
Oh, yeah, the crawl.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I loved it. I loved it. I definitely feel like this whole show has just, to me, the thing that's going to make me like this show right now is them treating this show with the importance and the subject matter, you know, the importance of the subject matter and the importance of hey, you're going to put a show that's about Star Wars. Put some effort into it. And that's what I'm really looking for in this show. Does this show shows me they're putting effort in? And does this show that they care? If it does those two things, even if I don't necessarily like what they do in the show, I think I'm really going to enjoy the show. So what did you think about the crawl? Or the whatever?
So I thought it was interesting that they put a crawl in there. And once it was in there and I saw that we were getting a crawl, I really would have preferred the normal Star Wars Crawl. I think that that would have been tons more exciting. And I mean, even the opening shot after the crawl, it was like a perfect like space shot of a ship. And for me, I would have preferred the original Star Wars crawl.
That's interesting. So a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe you're feeling what generally other people are feeling. That it's not a real crawl. To me, with the music and the tone of this show, very like ancient and mysterious and you know, almost samurai, right? To me, I think, and I don't know whether or not that that red text font and all that stuff was like reminiscent of like old Kurosawa stuff, but I know Dave Filoni really is really liking to make this show more of like a samurai epic in the Star Wars universe. Okay, and I would say that I like the distinction.
Yeah, the crawl is not something that listen, after the crawl was over, like I didn't even care, right? Right. Yep. It's so like whatever. But, you know, if we're going to critique it, I think that I think I would have gone with the original Star Wars crawl.
All right. So our next scene, right, this big ship, big impressive ship, Republic ship. I'm not sure if it's a Republic transport or a Republic cruiser that's transporting. Morgan Elsbeth. Now, from the crawl, right? To put this in time, right? This would be right after, or significant, you know, in a close proximity to Mandalorian season 2, right? So as the Mandalorian is going to Tython, after she tells him that's where he needs to go with,
yeah,
with Grogu, and she had captured Morgan Elsbeth. She somehow extracted some information from Morgan Elsbeth to know to go to this planet. She's on his way to this planet. At the same time, Morgan Elsbeth is getting transported back somewhere.
Okay. Yep.
Yep. And then visitors in a Jedi code showing a shuttle. Okay. This is an old shuttle from the Clone Wars era, which I didn't really think about it, but I'm guessing that that's how Baylan may have escaped. I don't know. But if these two guys show up, what were your initial impressions of the two? Are they Jedi? Question mark.
Well, I mean, there's not a single second that I thought that they're Jedi. Yeah, I mean, I was ready for, you know, the Sith attack, if we're calling them Sith.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
So I like the look of both of them. They both look good as bad guys. So I like those two characters. Now, I mean, what are they going to do with those two characters? I'm not quite certain yet, but I like the look of them, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think everybody knows Bailey, played by Ray Stevenson, who died after filming this season, right? So the first episode to Ray at the end in the credits. And then I think her name was Ivana Sakno, something like that. That's the girl who I think generally everybody is digging these two characters, right? And I wonder if how this would have played if they had never shown these two people in any of the stuff that's coming, right? You know, and you essentially start this thing with them saying a shuttle with Jedi code is going, and these two people show up, right?
would that have been a better shock, right, for them than to pull out the red lightsabers or the red lightsabers? I don't know. But the fact is, yeah, we both knew these were bad guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have enough, their clothing is enough, like, villainous clothing to...
I think their clothing is Jedi robes. I'm it's general. Those robes are not black. They're brown. They are Kenobi brown.
Are they?
Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I saw on it.
Yeah. I don't know.
So,
but if they're brown, then it's that would be a lot more jarring. Which would be an interesting thing to kind of experience, but there's enough previews where we saw that there were two bad dudes and we knew it was them. So,
yeah. So Shin also has a Padawan braid. That's interesting too. From her skills, I'm just curious: is she someone that's maybe spending a lot of time as a Padawan, or I don't know what the normal time range of Padawan is? I mean, she's older. She seems older than, say, Obi-Wan was when we met them in The Phantom Menace, right? So,
yes.
Did he find her later? Did he find her immediately? How long has he been training her? I really hope they do get a little bit into that. Anyway, it's just to me the mystery of these two, you know, these two dark Jedi is to me is one of the features that was really driving my enjoyment. Of these two episodes. So the captain of the ship, he's a guy that I knew I recognized, and he was a guy from Aliens. He was one of the big gunners with Ramirez. You remember the two?
Oh my god, yeah.
He was the big guy. He dies pretty early on. But yeah, he was pretty cool. And I thought he played a good combination of slightly arrogant, but not an idiot, right? But
he was an idiot enough.
Well, he was an idiot enough to be. He was an idiot enough to, if someone says they're a Jedi, inviting them onto the ship, right? Even if they weren't Jedi and they were bluffing, the chance that they had lightsabers and he was walking right up to them, to me, is enough to say we need to have some type of proof. We need to understand what it is. We can't just take
you know
it,
what,
right?
I took it as like the guy was like, psh, there's like no Jedi left. They're not Jedi. So let's see who these guys are. And so then when they got off the ship, he saw that they were actually in Jedi robes. But either way, like.
Either way, no military officer put in charge of a multi-billion-dollar piece of equipment when faced with a unknown target would invite that target to land.
Yes, correct.
Okay, yeah. Period. Right? Unless you literally, you got it on tractor beam or whatever, you would have some fighters check it out first, whatever, you do something. So a little silly, but it ended up with a pretty cool scene. So yep. The lightsaber stuff, right? I did think, to me, one of the coolest little parts of that was when they went bad, Shin just immediately like started moving, and she just did it in a way that was just like really cool. It was like, you know, surprise, right? And, you know, two Jedi against a bunch of, rebel troopers, you know, Navy guys, Navy pukes, right? I mean, heck, they aren't going to hold back anybody. So, and they didn't.
For that ship, the captain was like, yeah, let's bring me a squadron of security. And then, like, there's just six of them. I was like, six? I mean, you need like 50 or 100. I mean, like.
Yes, true. I mean, we probably know Jedi better than he does, right? I mean, he was probably a kid during the Clone Wars, right? May have had some exposure to Jedi, right? Yeah, just don't know. Don't know. But yes, but that's the way people are, right? That's generally, you have to be that way, right? If you didn't,
whatever. Boring,
right?
Yeah.
Real life is kind of boring, right? It does, nothing really happens exciting in real life. It's very procedural. And yeah, here's a pirate. Here's a little pirate skiff outside this Navy ship. Okay, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to just like keep an eye on it and warn it off and do some firing shots of it. And then they run away, right? It's just boring. You're like, well, you're going to make a movie about that? So... yeah, I can understand why they had to do this. So they, Balin cuts through everybody, you know, like a sledgehammer, right?
Yeah.
He does a little, he does the walk down the hall and the blocking of the things and the, all that stuff. And I thought that was good. I thought it was a little bit derivative of what Darth Vader did. So I wasn't going, ooh, I wasn't geeking out or anything like that. Right.
Right. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Just because they've done something, you know, I thought much better, right? Then. So he gets to the door and he uses the force on the Skomp Link. I thought that was interesting, right? So he obviously knows how to, like, do electronics or what have you. Or you just need to stop, or you just need to not worry about what force powers people show and stuff, because it really just doesn't matter, right? So many of the complaints I think people have had about, like, Star Wars, including myself, always comes from a position of, well, that doesn't make sense, right? And that works. Well, we'll talk about it later. I think the point is better made on another scene that happens in this first episode, but we'll get to that. So he opens up the door. He lets her go. He lets Morgan go. And I really love the dynamic here of, honestly, I'm digging Morgan Elsbeth. I'm digging the two Dark Jedi. To me, the fact that they are not idiots, and honestly, they're somewhat in control of their situation right now, and they are threatening, to me, is like, yes, you do not need idiots everywhere. You do not need a comical enemy. So,
definitely, the fact that they're not idiots is a huge plus for me.
Yeah. So she says, you came for me. And he goes, yeah, and I was well paid for it, too. The dynamic between these three, okay, between two Dark Jedi, between the Shin Hati, who she's like literally, I don't know where her thoughts are. I don't know whether she's more toward the Sith than Balin, if she's less. Is she, you know, obviously doesn't like witches, or at least the thought of witches or witchcraft is probably something that both Balin and Shin aren't into. So this is an interesting group, and it smells like, I'm not 100% sure these three are going to be bosom buddies throughout the whole series. So, you know, they dropped a lot of hints that there's some tension between all of them, right?
A little bit. I didn't think there was that much.
All right, great. Okay.
But, I mean, we know that something imminent is happening. I mean, the actor who played the character passed away. So, I mean, are they going to recast him? Or is that something that
who knows?
We don't
have to recast him. He might die in this season.
He may.
So
he may.
But I thought that was cool. And she does a little exposition. A Jedi got the plan, or got, may have gotten a clue where the temple is, etc., right? Ahsoka, and then they do the card, right? They do the Ahsoka card.
Yeah.
So I was, at that point, I was feeling pretty good. I was like, cool action, stuff I didn't necessarily expect, new characters, some old characters that I knew, all that together, with the crawl, telling it, kind of setting it up. I was like, I hope people that never have seen anything can understand what's going on here. I don't really care, but I hope they do. And I'm ready to go. Let's go. I got my popcorn out, right? So then we get to this old temple, and honestly, you know, throughout the first episode, I do feel things like moved very, very, I didn't mind it, but someone that's not into this stuff like me, like my wife, she fell asleep like 10 minutes into the show. Okay. Now she's not, you know, whatever. She figures she's going to figure it out. And it was late, and it was later than our bedtime. So she's just like, I'll just figure this out later, whatever. It's not that big a deal. I can't think Star Wars plot's going to be something I'm not going to be able to catch up if I miss the first two episodes. But oh well. So, but there were some times there was just a lot of thinking and walking and stuff, right? This whole temple thing.
Yep.
So, very Raiders, I guess. Love the thing with the lightsaber. She throws him in the ground, twists him, and then goes through. Pretty cool, pretty cool, yes, pretty cool.
That's my favorite, yeah.
So, now, any complaints or any questions about this whole... I see a lot of people going, like, what? Someone's trying to find Thrawn? Why would an ancient thing know about where Thrawn is?
Yes, that was... So, I have my own theories.
Oh, I do too.
But yeah, I can understand why so... What?
What's your theory?
The Night Sister person was talking about how she was hearing, what's his face?
Thrawn through space and time, right? He talks to her.
Right. Yes.
Time and space. She actually said from time and space, but yes. Okay.
So he may have told her, like, you know, I'm on this type of planet and there's like this type of thing here that looks like it would probably connect with something else by you guys, and so then she knew about that, and then she found out that there would be some sort of key that she needed to find. So that's right.
That could have been something. That's a good thought, right? I didn't really think about that. That maybe he just told her like some key landmarks, so then she knows that from her past. But my headcanon, and which I think is generally what they think they were trying to do, was saying this isn't really it's like she knows that he got pulled away by a bunch of Purgles into hyperspace out of the known galaxy. No one knows where they went, right? Yeah. She knows some things as a Night Sister that where the Purgles go, right? The Purgles travel between this galaxy and this other galaxy. In fact, on the galaxy map that they had, you had Purgles circling this other piece of the galaxy, right? Maybe it's the homeland of the Purgles, right? Who knows what, right? Yeah. There's some type of connection between the Purgles and where they go, right? It's like these are some routes. So to her, she knows that from her history, she knows that there was old routes between this thing and where her people originally came from, which I'm assuming that the Night Sisters originally came from this other area, right? Maybe that's the route that they got to this galaxy, right? Maybe since they like riding things, like supposedly in lore, Dathomir witches ride rancors on Dathomir, maybe they're really used to being at nature, and maybe they had communed with the Purgles, and that's how they got to this galaxy, right? But it was long forgotten over thousands of years, right? You don't know that path. So I think really she's just trying to find an old map because, like, she has a feeling he's in Arkansas, but she can't remember she can't remember how to get to Arkansas. So she needs a map to show her where Arkansas is.
Well, I like my idea better.
No, your idea stinks. So he said, I'm right under that the tree with the two limbs, you know, right by that rock. Oh, yeah, I remember that from my childhood stories. So, yes, maybe she did that. Either way, it's not a location to Thrawn. It's just I need a map of the air. I need an app to remember these old routes. Okay. So let's just move on from that. She comes back. You know, I thought that whole scene was cool with the lights and the thing, and then her getting the thing, and then finding the fifth element thing where she had to crumble to get the thing out of it, right? All that black stuff, who knows what that black stuff is. If that black stuff is like special magic dust, is it ashes of people before? I don't think so, but it's something, right? Because that black dust, I think, is gunpowder, right? Because when these goofy guys fight Ahsoka afterwards, which, you know, the action. I mean, what do you think of the action with those robots and her? I thought it was decent, but, you know, it's a person against a CGI thing. So it can only get so cool, right?
I mean, it was pretty decent fighting scenes for the most part in these first two episodes.
I hope it gets better. I hope.
Yeah, me too. And some visual and some. I mean, the biggest thing with the lightsaber battles for these first two episodes, which, you know, is understandable, is that there was no real like emotion behind them. Like, it was exciting to see Ahsoka like do her thing, but like it wasn't like earth shattering, like emotional lightsaber battles, and right. That's where neither was
the first time that Maul pulls out the lightsaber on Qui-Gon when they're running back to the ship in the Phantom Menace, and I gotta admit that freaking fight scene was pretty cool.
So I'm gonna disagree a little bit, because so number one, you know, definitely the scope of that lightsaber battle was much bigger than what was going on in these two episodes, but Qui-Gon got killed in that
I'm not talking about in Theed.
You're talking about on Tatooine,
that quick little one, that first
that doesn't count.
Dude, what are you talking about? That battle was almost exactly like this battle, because he's running after him. They get into a battle, and then Qui-Gon jumps up onto a ship to escape from the battle.
But I'm going to agree with you on that. Yeah, that one didn't have any emotion either. That was just like, get the fuck out of here.
What I'm saying is, you don't need emotion. You don't need a key emotional thing for it to be a cool battle. But to have, I know what you're thinking about. You're thinking about like the one at the end of Revenge of the Sith, obviously, that had a whole bunch of emotion in there, right?
Yeah.
And some people would say that's a really cool battle.
But
right?
I mean, also, like, even if we take the Tatooine one, right, the one that you're bringing up, I mean, like, you had, that was, like, the first, like, attempt of Darth Maul to, like, attack.
Yeah.
Right? And Darth Maul is, like, I mean, he's, like, one of my favorite villains of all time, right?
Yeah.
So, cool. You compare it with robots, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's not going to have the same weight. So,
no, you're right. I wasn't expecting,
which is fine. You know, this is the first two episodes. You know,
it's not that big a deal.
Yeah,
it's not that big a deal. Overall, to me, the production design, the music, the acting, everything that I could really have a problem with, none of it really bothered me, right? The only thing that could bother me would be, well, I don't know what, would just be just glaring things that show they just don't give a crap, right? That to me would be the only thing that really pisses me off, which the other shows have done terribly, right?
I hope that you didn't find a single spot in these two episodes that gave you that impression.
No, I did not find a single spot in these two episodes that gave me that really started making me think that they're just going through the paces on this. Not at all.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that, right? So he gets through this thing. I really love Huang, the droid. Love that guy.
Yeah.
Love him. So that guy is David Tennant, right? He's an old British actor. He's been on a ton of stuff. Everyone loves him. He's played Doctor Who. He did the voice of this guy in the Clone Wars, right? So, you know, the major parts of, you know, to that, then we get introduced to, at that point, she's like, okay, we got to do something. So then she gets called by Hera. They go over there. We meet Hera for the first time, and Hera is in Home One. Well, Home One's there, and Hera's there. Does that mean Hera runs Home One?
Don't know,
but that'd be pretty cool if she did. I had a lot of worries about Hera. You know, just because how do you play Hera, right? And yes, the actress that plays Hera, you know, it's what's his face's wife, right?
Yeah. McGregor. Obi-Wan. Yeah, Ewan McGregor's wife. Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah, that's her name. I honestly loved her character. Loved her character. Mm-hmm. I love the mom vibe she was giving. I love the fact that she doesn't take crap. I love the fact that she's also not like this really annoying person. She's not any of that stuff. She's just she plays Hera very nicely. Now, whether or not you dig her makeup and stuff, whatever. I don't care. I mean, yes, maybe it could be better, but I'm not worried about that. To me, that's not something I'm going to worry about. Is she serious? And does she play the part, like, you know, with care? And I think so. So to me, I liked everything about Hera. She was probably, honestly, she was the character that I probably had the least problems with when it came to their behavior or whether or not this is someone I want to follow on this show.
That's a very interesting thing for you to say. I'm curious to hear more. But for me, Hera, I need more time with Hera. I don't think that there's been enough of her running around and her doing things for me to really see whether I like this character or not. I mean, from Rebels, you know, I love the entire group, but whether this can be pulled off, I'm still looking to see.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we know that she's making all these comments about, hey, you need to get back with Sabine. You really ought to take her back on. You know, you guys really should make amends and stuff like that or whatever. She's just trying to be very conciliatory, right?
Yeah.
But you know, she's got a young son somewhere.
Yes.
Who's likely has force powers. And her, I definitely want to see this guy, this kid, and I definitely want to see how she deals with this kid who may have powers, right?
Yeah.
To me, that would be even more of the showing. You know, to me, I think I would love to see her interaction with this kid. Is she protective of this kid? Is she very like, no, don't show any of those powers, you'll get hurt kind of thing of her kid? I hope not, right? I hope she's very supportive, right? So it depends. It's just, right. So there's a lot more that we could learn about Hera. And you're right. She didn't have that major part of the show, right? But she also didn't do anything necessarily to annoy me. And none of them really did anything necessarily to annoy me. It's just I'm a little... So after that, we get to, hey, there's someone who could help you. So they go to Lothal. Everything about Lothal, I thought was decently done. Clancy Brown as, you know, Ryder Azadi, the thing. Even the kid that he says, hey, take over and do this thing. That kid was the kid that, you remember when Ezra entered the academy on Lothal? And then he found out that people were like, he just found all types of bad things, right? So another kid at the academy helped him, and they ended up, like, sabotaging the academy, escaping.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That's the kid. So so they've got history there. I think it is kind of stupid. I think it's kind of stupid that they do this giant thing on the wall and this big thing, and Sabine thinks that she doesn't need to be there, but I can understand it at least, right? I mean, the fact is she doesn't want to celebrate something when she's not really ready to give up on Ezra, right? And who knows, maybe that was a major part of the problem between her and Ahsoka, right? But the point is, that whole thing, I'm a little worried, right, that for them trying to say that her and Ahsoka have so much history and they keep alluding to it and stuff, if they don't really, like, give a satisfying, to me, portrayal of why it really was that they had problems, right? Not just because they're annoying and she's stubborn and pig-headed. And if it was just as simple as that, then Ahsoka needs to really come clean on the fact that she's just not dedicated enough, right? That's a problem. Now, she brought that up, right? She brought that up later on saying, I left him before, et cetera, before he could finish my training, just like I left Sabine. And I took it the way she said it, not that she was like sort of like saying it proudly. She was definitely saying it like, mea culpa, right? This is my problem. I did that, which I love that part, right? Mm. To me, like, one of the only times during these two shows that Ahsoka, who called Anakin Sky Guy and was always rushing off to do crazy stuff, that was the only time she actually showed any emotion, really, in the show. Why is she such a stoic? She is a stoic Jedi. She's a stoic Jedi in Mandalorian. She's a stoic Jedi in Book of Boba Fett, right? Although she was a little more caring during Book of Boba Fett, I would think, because she was just more like, hey, I'm talking about your father and all that stuff, which is great. Why is she so stoic, right? I hope they explain that. Not just she's older and she's stoic and that's her thing, right? There's got to be something that they really need to get into. And it's pretty obvious, right? You know, she feels like, into some parts, she feels like she might be responsible for the deaths of all the Jedi, right? Because she left Anakin at probably a weak time where he really probably needed her, and he turned to the dark side and destroyed the Jedi Order. That's a pretty heavy load, right?
Totally. I mean, I think that there's definitely, when it comes to Ahsoka, I agree with you actually 100% that she's super stoic and not showing a lot of emotion. And I'm hoping that some time with some of these other characters changes that a little bit. So with that being said, I you know, the whole thing with Sabine and her, I mean, I'm kind of anticipating that this is something that they're going to go into in more detail with different episodes and stuff like that. I mean, it's a pretty big chunk of information to just ignore it and not go into it further. I did go back and watch the last episode of Rebels, just to kind of, I don't know, just see what was there. And, you know, at the end of Rebels, Ezra does say to Sabine, I'm counting on you. And they don't ever allude to what that means. And so in the last scene, you see Sabine saying that, you know, maybe he meant that he wants her to take care of Lothal, but she also surmises that maybe it's something else, but, you know, it doesn't get explained any further. So, you know, I'm curious if he was insinuating to her that, you know, he needs her to, you know, learn the Force or to learn something. I don't know. Could it just be that he wanted her to take care of Lothal? Could be. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Maybe, right? She's not from Lothal, right? So
she's not. No.
For him to think that, possible, right? He loved Lothal, right? That was his homeland. Yeah. He had a special connection to it, so maybe he meant that. The fact that she was fresh off of training with the Darksaber, and I don't think she showed any Force sensitivity, but she did show the possibility of being a leader, right? That I think he was basically saying, listen, if I'm gone, someone needs to help out. Because by that time, Kanan was already dead, right? Yes.
Yeah.
It could mean a lot of things, right? I like to think it means that now, in retrospect, it means that he thought she had some type of ability. Now, the question is, okay, so we only got 25 minutes because I got to go at 8:30 sharp.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the stuff that, you know, the big things, okay? So I didn't really ask you, Aaron, but just generally, okay, how are you feeling about this show? Is this show, like, wowing you? Is this show making you, you know, what is it doing for you?
So, at this point in time, I did not leave the first two episodes being like, oh my God, this was, like, the most amazing two episodes I've ever seen. I left it feeling like this was a good introduction to a lot of different characters, and I'm hoping that the good stuff is coming. I'm hoping that, you know, it's not, now that they have the map, that it's not going to take like 10 episodes for them to start moving towards their destination here. So I'm curious to see where it goes.
And we have every reason to fear that, right?
Yes, we do.
The problem with this show is the fact that it's coming after some really lackluster attempts, right? The last three seasons of stuff, Book of Boba Fett, Obi-Wan, and Mandalorian Season 3, were all very, they were fine. They weren't terrible, but boy, they were disappointing to me.
So, like, what would be acceptable to me is if they do an episode, like, if episode 3 was, like, an episode about, Ahsoka and Sabine's relationship. I would accept that, right? But, like, if they're gonna, like, do, like, an episode where, like, Ahsoka needs to go and get a part for her ship, that's gonna be, like, annoying to me.
Oh, I cannot see them doing that. I just cannot see. I mean, you're right. You're right, Aaron. We are at a very fragile point with this show. If we see one wasted episode out of this 8 episodes that has so much stuff that it needs to do, people will turn against this show. There's no doubt about it. I think one of the things that's making people for this show is the fact that so far it's telling a story and it's not relenting from it, right? Everything that happened in the first 2 episodes, whether you liked the pacing or not, why is she listening to rock music and why do they got to do this stupid I'm cool crap, right, with the whole bike thing, right? Right. But none of that was taking away from the story. It was all moving the story forward. And if Dave basically has 8 episodes of telling the story, I'm going to give this show a lot of credit because that's really all I want. I want you to tell a story. And I don't need this to be a bunch of side missions that are just there to fill space. So far we don't see any of that. But you're right, episode 3. So let's look at it. I mean, essentially we know that there's a four-parter and then there's another four-parter. And Filoni is directing 1 and 5. I think we can pretty much guess that 5 to 8 will be them in the way beyond, right? That new galaxy, right? They're going. Okay, and 1 through 4 is everything that goes on before that happening, right? They're trying to either stop it or they're trying to get there before the bad guys. Now, what could happen in episode 3? Supposedly episode 3 is a shorter episode.
Oh.
It is. Now,
that's
yeah, it's actually the shortest, I think, episode of any episode they've had of any of the shows, okay? I'm not a fan of that either, right?
I'm not a fan for them to put out an episode that's like 29 minutes.
Expect that, okay? I think it's going to be around that time. I mean, adding credits, I think it's like 34 or something like that. Something like that, right? So
that is cheating us out of a good hour.
That is, you're right, it is. It is. I'm not a big fan of that. But time doesn't mean much, right? I mean, The first episode could have been shorter if they cut through a lot of the walking around and looking at objects scene and trying to figure out the map scene, right? So, let's talk about what they could do in that third episode is maybe that episode. The only thing I would allow them to go off the beaten path is if they suddenly did a quick 5 years ago thing, right? Where they take a half an hour to basically just go through what Ahsoka was doing during the OT, then her training, and maybe some part of the training with Sabine, I would be just fine with that, right? To me, I want some. This show is moving at such a pace toward a thing that I don't think they're going to have time to talk about what she was doing after Rebels, right? What was she doing, right?
It doesn't have to be what they were doing, but it has to be in the context of why there's so much friction between Ahsoka and Sabine.
Okay, wait a minute. So you're telling me that if they go into why there's a friction between Ahsoka and Sabine, but they don't talk about when she first found out that Luke Skywalker was alive, that there was even a Luke Skywalker, when she found out that the Emperor was dead, or that Darth Vader was dead, or when she found out that there was this giant war going on with this kid who's a Jedi battling against Darth Vader, I'm going to be pissed.
I don't see them doing that in this.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I will be surprised if they do that.
That's crazy.
I mean, that would be awesome to see what she was doing when those things were happening. I mean, I'm not against seeing that, and that would be great. But I don't
All right, like so let's get back to what they did happen. Do. Let's get back to what they did do, because timing is a little bit weird here, right? Okay, let's think about what we do know, okay? Ahsoka saw Mandalorian, told him to go to Tython, okay?
Yeah.
The next time we see Ahsoka is probably sometime later on the planet where Luke is training Grogu, and yeah. She's there, and they talk a little, and you know they know each other at that point, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, how the heck does that work? She's about to go on a journey, likely, to the new beyond. There's probably going to be some type of time jump. In fact,
so,
right. So my question is this, okay? When she sees Luke later,
right.
Is that after the events of the Ahsoka series and her going to the new beyond and maybe Thrawn coming back and having Heir of the Empire in a movie? Or is it before she leaves to go?
I'm going to tell you something here, and you know what? They have themselves a big pickle.
They do.
They have a big pickle, because, like, there's so many interweaving things here. So, like, I agree with you, okay?
Hold on. Wait. We have proof. Wait a second. We know it has to be before she goes to see Thrawn. Why? Because after Luke and her talk, okay, and Grogu is back with Din, then in season 3, the Imperials are still talking about Thrawn. Somewhere. Okay. Where is he? We don't know. So that means that all of that has to happen before she goes to go into the new beyond. That means that somehow in these first 4 episodes, okay, all of that where she goes over to see Luke has to happen. Because if she goes to go to get Thrawn, then when she's talking to Luke, and after Luke, they're still talking about Thrawn, there's no way that works.
Well, here's the other thing that doesn't work, right? So, like, Ahsoka is with Sabine during this time, and if the Mandalorian shows up, you know, on Luke's planet, why isn't she like, yo, Sabine, you should go say hello to this other Mandalorian?
Exactly, right? So now, the only thing I can think of, and this is super, super weak, okay? This is super weak, okay? But at the end of, after they, okay, so we don't know yet, right? We don't know yet, right? They could explain it somehow, right? But
yeah, they could.
But they've given us so far is, at the end, remember when and this doesn't work either, but at the end of the thing, like in an RPG game, you get a certain point where someone says, and we'll let you know when we get something from the transponder. Go off and do whatever you're doing, right? And then they let her know that we have some information on where it is, and they tell her where they found the transponder. That wait for this to happen could be 4 months later. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's pretty immediately, right? Because it doesn't make sense. It would take 4 months for them to get the SSD, which I love the way they say that SSD. They said the SSD hyper module over to that ring, right? Anyway, so many cool stuff, right? So they got, right. So Aaron, I'll just log it right here, okay? That is, I do have a concern about how this all works. Now, the fact of time and space, she said time and space, across time and space, the world between worlds was time-based, right? It's very possible that literally when the Purgles took Ezra and Thrawn, that they not only took them to another galaxy, they might have taken them to 2,000 years in the past, right? And who knows, they could pull some type of chicanery with that whole thing, right? So, but the fact that they showed Ahsoka again, and they were still talking about Thrawn after that, like he's still out there, that to me is creating all types of, wait a minute, how does this work? But I don't know yet, so I'm concerned. Go ahead.
I want to say something else. I know that we're running out of time, but I mean, I was thinking about that the other day because, like, if it is something that's a little bit different in time and space, right? They could send all these characters to that new galaxy, and then they could all then come back to the current galaxy at the time of Rey, and still be the same ages
I already
know them as.
But I've been telling you that. I've been telling you that for months, that that's what I want them to do. Once I heard about this new beyond, right? And once I heard about the unknown regions or whatever, this new beyond, I was like, wouldn't it be awesome if the only way they can explain this whole thing is if Ahsoka and Grogu and all the cats go to the new beyond, and then they all pop back up after The Last Jedi or after The Rise of Skywalker, which would be...
Now I can finally agree with you.
Yeah. How awesome would that be, right? Honestly, I think that's where they go. Because they have to do that, right? Because if he comes back, yeah, why would they have him come back and then he's simply a precursor to the First Order? That would be so stupid.
That would be so dumb.
But anyway, so let's talk about things that people complained about. Getting stabbed by a lightsaber. What's your thoughts?
Who cares?
Right, me too. I have two who care thoughts on that. The first who cares thought is the purely logical thought, which is how many human beings have been shot by bullets? And how many human beings, when two human beings have been shot in the same spot as somebody else, have both had the same exact result from that shot? Nobody. Never. No one even knows, right? Even a headshot sometimes isn't lethal, right? So just purely from a pure, like, why do we think lightsabers are so different is one thing. But the second thing is, it really doesn't matter what they did. You know that they weren't. The plan was not to kill Sabine right then. So they could have done 8 billion things. It doesn't really matter what they did. The point was, you know that they weren't supposed to kill Sabine then. The reason why we have such problems with this is we watch, and I do it too, we watch a show and we watch events happen and we treat that event like it actually happened. And then we say, well, why would they make her survive after that? Like, as if the stab really happened, and now the writers are in charge of saying what happened through that stab. The writers aren't in charge of that because the writers already figured out what the point is. They knew she was not written to die. So it really doesn't matter what she did. So I agree. I don't like the idea of them making lightsaber stabs suddenly something that we should not think is a big deal, okay? Because I still thought it was a big deal. Even though I saw Reva not die from it, even though I saw the Inquisitor not die from it, when I saw Shin Hati do that maneuver and then stab her through the gut, to me, it was still a moment, right?
I mean, listen, these lightsaber stabs don't look like they're, like, paper cuts. Like, these characters... clearly, every single one of them show that they need, like, major recuperation time. But, like, if everyone would rather them stab, you know, in the leg, then so be it. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're trying to wound each other to slow them down. That's the end of it. There's nothing to even look into with that.
Yeah. So, So I think the only other thing I could think of is that they had a chance of really doing this whole, this whole relationship between Sabine and Ahsoka, you know, to me, the tension between them, I guess it's necessary, right? Because you have to have that tension simply so that they could say, what would have been the problem with when you meet Ahsoka, that Sabine is with her and is already training with her, and it's just taking a long time because I love the fact that they said just very offhandedly that she's just not that good at being force sensitive, right? Why do they need the tension? I don't know, right? To me, it's like now you opened up a whole story that has to happen before. I guess the reason would be that really it's all about Ahsoka, right? It's less about Sabine. I think Sabine, yes, she's a hothead, she's stubborn, right? And she probably annoyed Ahsoka at some point. And she probably wanted to, like, she probably was impatient, right? She was probably like, why are we training? Can we go try to find Ezra, please? Right? And Ahsoka's like, patience, and she kept getting pissed off at it. To me, I think that's probably what it was, right? But Ahsoka does have a problem with, like, leaving, okay? And that has to be, she has to have some moment during the show where the chips are down, and honestly, it looks all is lost, and she has the option to just leave, and she doesn't, right? She sticks with it for some reason, right? Something comes over her, and maybe that's when she finally becomes Ahsoka the White, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that, and I really hope that happens during this season. So what other problems people have with the show? No one had a problem with the music. Holy crap, I love the music. And I love the little end scene with the star map and stuff. Yes, it's very reminiscent of Game of Thrones, but I don't care. It's very cool.
What the hell are you talking about? That was an awesome scene.
Yeah, some people said it looks like the Game of Thrones thing. So
then they should be happy.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. It's not exactly like the Game of Thrones. It's just kind of reminiscent, right? Yeah. But what else would you do, right? I mean, it's a star map. So, I mean, everything's about star maps. There's so many cool things that could happen. My hope is, this is my hope, and I'm going to do the prediction, that Eye of Sion, can you imagine a scene where that Eye of Sion, you know what it is, right? It's basically like a hyperspace ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the one around, like, Kenobi's Jedi fighter during the Clone Wars, right?
Right. Well, we saw that above the planet, right?
Right. And it's huge. Yeah. Why does it need to be huge? Can you imagine a scene at which when that Sion comes back from the nether regions, that the entire 7th fleet of Thrawn is like in the Eye of Sion?
You know, that's actually, cool, you know what, that's actually, you know, so at the end of Rebels, like the Purgles were fighting with a bunch of Star Destroyers.
Yeah, they took at least three. Yeah.
So like all of them are sitting there? It's possible.
Right, so wouldn't that be, because, you know, the original Heir of the Empire, the original Thrawn thing, he has a group of three Star Destroyers in it. The Chimera, the Death's Head, and I can't remember the other one. So anyway, he has three Star Destroyers. The Stormhawk, I think, is the other one. Which I always thought was really cool. I mean, I love Navy shit, so I'm like geeking out over that stuff. So I can't wait to see three Star Destroyers coming out through that ISI. If they don't do that, I'll be really pissed. So, who knows? Maybe he even has a Super Star Destroyer over there. I don't know, right? Who knows what, right? So, who knows what they've been building over there in the New Beyond. Anyway, so many cool things could happen. What else? The line, the part that really got me going was, to me, what really made this show work, to me, was the fact that they're driving towards something, and it doesn't look like they want to take side trips, so they're going to tell a story, and they've set up enough anticipation about what could be that I'm just super excited about it.
I mean the possibilities are endless,
right? Now the possibilities are endless on most shows, right? And most of the time they cut back and they hold back. So far it doesn't look like they're necessarily holding back. I don't see any evidence to say that they're not holding back, so I don't know yet. But the fact is, is that if they spend 8 episodes only to just then go into the jump to the new beyond, I'll be pissed. But the fact
I'll be on board with that.
Listen, they're gonna go to the new beyond. All right,
they got the map.
They got the map.
Go.
Yeah. So I already think they already have. Anyway, I know that the last half of the show is going to be in the new beyond. So, what'd you think about just that awesome delivery of the line at the very end? And one other thing that made me feel good is right at the end of the second episode, he's like, it'd be a shame to kill her with there being so little Jedi left. Oh, did I hear some mentality? He goes, truth. And he disappears. Fantastic, right? I mean, I love my villains to be capable and complex and not necessarily right. I mean, you don't know, right? I mean, you don't know. I mean, honestly, why would these two dark Jedi really care about bringing Thrawn back? He says unlimited power. I don't know what that means, right? Maybe he doesn't even believe in. To me, you know, the only thing I could think of from his perspective, what this means, right, is if he really does think that Thrawn can do something to the galaxy, can take over the galaxy and actually implement something that's, right, you know, the proper thing, right, then obviously you'll need a Jedi Order. And Baylan could be essentially, in his position, he could be assigned to be the leader of the Jedi Order. His new Jedi Order. To me, that could be the only thing I could think of him doing, of why he really cares about this.
Well, I mean, he's saying that he was talking about having, like, a huge amount of power.
So I don't know. You know, I mean, to me, honestly, he's moved on from the Jedi, but he still loves the Jedi, right? He still loves what he once was, right? He probably thinks that they failed for this, that, and other reason, and I can do it better, right? I don't, you know, that's interesting. So, what else? What else happened? Great scene with, you know, some people say it copied off of the Phantom Menace with the probe, right? And it coming back to her. I mean, they didn't even, at least they didn't play the achicha in the back.
But no, that's an awesome scene. I love it. I like that. And I didn't mind that being a throwback to Phantom Menace.
Exactly. Why? Why not? So really, a lot of cool stuff. The whole thing with the I thought the freaking Corellian shipyard and that all of the CGI there. I love it. I mean, they're putting money into it. That's another thing. They're putting money into the show, right?
Yeah. I like that. And they have one of my favorite character actors in that scene. The guy is from The Walking Dead and was from House MD.
Which guy?
The
technician, not the guy that was like whatever leading them through the tour.
That guy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was in Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought all that was generally good. I thought the dialogue was fine. I thought the dialogue was very like. It made sense, right? I mean, it's just people there just trying to make money, right? I mean, the empire was huge. The entire empire was, you know, there's tons of people. Now, the fact that they're all working for this girl, you know, whatever. But they figured it out. I thought that whole scene was kind of cool. This Marok Inquisitor.
Yeah.
They're not saying, no one's saying he's, well, I think the databank says he's a former Inquisitor, but he's not necessarily. Everyone's thinking that he was the guy that in Rebels that had the helicopter blade, right? Mm-hmm. And but he died, right? He died in that episode against Maul, right? So, some people are thinking that that's Sam Witwer, and you know Marek Starkiller,
yeah, right?
The guy from Force Unleashed.
Yep. I know about Sam Witwer and that character, but like, how would that be?
Well, why? You know, we don't know his story. His story's never been brought into canon. We don't know what his story is, right? What if he, as a human, was just an inquisitor, right? But maybe he was really adept, Maybe he was Darth Vader's special apprentice for a little while or whatever, right? But Marok, right? Who knows, right? So who is this guy, right? He's probably nobody, and he'll probably be the first one out of three to die. But I thought his battle was cool, and then the little sidestep by Ahsoka when the blade's coming back and she just
yes, went that was cool. Very cool.
So to me, two episodes of nothing dead brain, nothing in my face like, boy, they don't know freaking Star Wars. Nothing in my face like they are just going through the motions. None of that hit me for these two episodes. So I am very satisfied by these guys. And it could all fall apart, but I don't see why. The only way it can fall apart is if they do something. This show can fall apart. If the goal is to find Ezra and to find Thrawn, then the only way they could really make this it would piss me off is if they go to the new beyond and at the end of the season they kill Thrawn and Ezra dies too, or Ezra sacrifices himself to kill Thrawn or something again, right? That would then piss me off. Then it's like, wait a minute, that's exactly where the freak we were at the end of Rebels. He sacrificed them to take Thrawn out of the picture. If they does that again, I'm going to be like, well, what the freak? You just spent 8 shows just to get back to where we were? That's the only way they could piss me off on this show. And not mention Luke at all, right? That would really piss me off. They don't even mention Luke at all. I have a feeling they might not mention him. But that would be stupid to have an Ahsoka show that doesn't talk about her finding out that Anakin's son is alive and that he's fighting the good fight and she doesn't help him. That, to me, how could they not show that? But what are your thoughts? I got to go. What's your thoughts?
Hopefully they show that stuff. Happy trading, everyone. And we'll talk more next time.
Yes. We will talk next time. We'll have to figure out when to do next episode. Maybe we'll have to do it during the week after Tuesday. We'll have to find a time during that time because Saturday I'm going to be taking my wife on her birthday to the beach. And so I'm not going to be available next Saturday morning. So we got to figure out what we do. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
But we need to review that next one. Hopefully we love it. All right. Cool. Let me see. I'm just looking at our chat room, seeing anything else that that needs to be talked about there. Anyway, really appreciate all the people in our chat room for giving a lot of thoughts on the show. Honestly, some people are not as, or at least one guy is not as enamored with the shows we are, or he's just being very, very hesitant. And honestly, he has no reason not to be, right?
Yeah.
Star Wars has failed us a couple of times on these shows, and they just got to prove it, right? So I'm willing to give them another chance, and I think everyone is, but you know, they've disappointed us before. So yeah, let's just hold judgment. But so far, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, as much as I love the Suga episode from Mandalorian, no Suga on Ahsoka.
That's right. That show to me, I like the subject matter of what they're doing in Ahsoka much better than what they did in Suga. But Suga is such an entertaining, perfect Star Wars episode to me.
It is. Suga is like perfection, but no Suga on Ahsoka. That's going to be a hashtag. No Suga on Ahsoka.
That makes zero sense, and the hashtag, it will not survive. All right. Until next week. Have a great week, folks, and I'm really hoping that this next episode is rocks. Thanks a lot. Aaron, where can they find you?
Suga. At DXT Podcast, all day long, all day strong.
Awesome, and thank you so much for getting up early so we can actually have time to discuss this. I am Mark B50K on Twitter, and we're just really happy about Ahsoka. Let's go!
DTFN. You're looking
podcast here for